Islam in daily life. Islam in Daily Life is a program prepared by Dr. Sayyid Al-Nabi. One of the important implications of ignorance can be understood when we consider ignorance as opposed not to knowledge but basically to justice. The word is already used in this sense by the pre-Islamic Arab poet Amr ibn Khaldun. O Hind, do not behave ignorantly towards us, or we in turn shall behave ignorantly beyond the ignorance of the ignorant. That is to say, do not oppress us beyond a certain limit, or we shall feel obliged to return the oppression with interest. Islam thus came to apply the word jahiliya to racial discrimination in all its manifestations, also including excessive deference to lineage, tribal convention and economic situation. Thus the Prophet admonishes men, saying, O you people, God hath caused to depart from you the vainglory and presumption of the ignorant, and their pride in their forefathers. Men are of two sorts, the righteous, God-fearing men, honorable in the sight of God, and the dastardly man of whom God takes little account. The Holy Prophet goes on to say, You are all from Adam, and Adam was created from dust. Let men cease to boast of their forefathers, or else they shall be more despicable than dung beetles in the sight of Allah. Your lineage is of no account. You are all the children of Adam. The pride you take in your forefathers transgresses the teaching of your Lord. No man is superior to another save in faith and fear of God. Counseling his companion Abu Dharr al-Ghafari, the Prophet said, See, you are not worthier than any other man, nor superior to him, except you be more God-fearing than he. One of his prayers, when he communed with God towards the close of night, was, I am a witness that God's servants are all brothers. But this was not easy for people accustomed to regard their tribal conventions as little less than sacred and to hold to their kinship generation after generation in a manner for which it was difficult, if not impossible, to find a parallel in other nations. How was Islam to bring them, and mankind with them, onto the straight path of faith and equality? There was inequality among men on a tribal basis, or one could say on a racial basis. Whatever the reason, inequality existed, and the role of Islam was to put an end to it. Equality begins with a universal creed, open to all and containing no private mysteries. For religion is for all men. Thus God speaks to his prophet who says, O mankind, truly I am a messenger to you all from God. Thus he is not a regional or racial prophet. Indeed, he says, I have been sent to men both fair and black. The people of Quraysh attacked the message of Islam on the grounds that it had been revealed to a poor man. At that time, the majority of the Arabs could not imagine that the Prophet's invitation was disinterested. They therefore offered him all manner of supposed distinctions or advantages, the basis of their own lives, if he would abandon Islam. If it is simply wealth that you are seeking with this matter that you have brought, we shall collect your wealth that will make you wealthier than us. And if you desire honor, we shall make you lord over us and decide nothing without you. And if you desire sovereignty, we shall make you our king. But he shunned wealth, social position and authority. In other words, he refused any distinction with a financial, social or political basis, and would accept only faith and human brotherhood from them. Thus the Prophet rejected at the outset those factors that lead to discrimination. Let us see how this is reflected in the religious observance of Islam. Prayer is the most prominent feature of Islamic religious observance. In addition to the five daily prayers, the people gather for communal prayers on Fridays and the two feast days, while the most important gathering takes place at the season of pilgrimage. In the mosque, the worshippers stand in rows, men of different tongues and colors, mingling indiscriminately, and those who arrive earliest are entitled to occupy the front rows. The imam is the one most qualified to read the word of God, while he who calls them to prayer must be chosen from among men of irreproachable character. The first muezzin for the Messenger of God was an Ethiopian slave, Bilal, who had been seriously ill-treated by the idolaters of Quraysh. They used to make him lie on the scorching ground with a hot stone weight on his belly, until one day he was ransomed and released by Abu Bakr, one of the Prophet's companions. That is why Umar ibn al-Khattab, the second caliph, used to say, "Abu Bakr, our master, released our master." Bilal had a beautiful voice and was one of those who accompanied the Prophet when he migrated from Mecca to Medina. He used to utter the summons to prayer for the Prophet during the latter's journeys and sojournings. Later, when the Prophet conquered Mecca in the 8th year of the Hijra, he ordered Bilal to utter the call to prayer from the top of the Kaaba, and his voice was thus the first to be heard summoning the faithful to prayer from that spot. After the death of the Prophet, he called no more, save on one solitary occasion when he did so at the request of the Muslims in the Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem. Thus, the first voice to be raised in the Muezzin's call to prayer from all three of the mosques most sacred to Muslims was that of Bilal, the Ethiopian from Africa.
Islam in daily life.